Grace to you and peace from the one who creates and sustains and redeems all life. Amen. So as Jesus came out of the temple, one of the disciples looked around him and said, "Lord, what big buildings there are here. Look at the size of those stones. This greatness, this hugeness of life." And most of us probably are pretty familiar, especially if we live in Honolulu, increasingly with what a big building looks like. I grew up in the city. I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, and in Los Angeles. So big buildings were sort of, I just knew about them. But when my first call was in rural Kansas. In sort of central western rural Kansas. And there were no big buildings there. And a lot of our kids had not had the opportunity to travel to the city. So on one of our high school trips, I took them to Kansas City. And it was just like the disciples. As they looked up at buildings that were 60 stories tall, all crowded together, they were like, "Look at this. This is amazing." And then Jesus says to his disciple, "And all of it will be thrown down, not one stone left upon another." Well, this literature is apocalyptic literature. So often we're not that familiar these days with this kind of saying, these apocalyptic sayings. As a matter of fact, one of the complaints when Luther translated the Bible into German was that people for the first time were reading these apocalyptic readings for the first time on their own, without interpretation. And they read them literally, that God was going to destroy all things. But this kind of saying is not meant to be taken at its face. It's sort of images stapled to life to help us better understand what God is up to and what we are up to in life and in the world. And in fact, so often apocalyptic literature and sayings are misunderstood, so that when you read Daniel or you read the small apocalyptic readings of Jesus, or Lord forbid if you should read Revelation, what you may miss if you're not familiar with apocalyptic literature is that it is literature of hope. It's meant to bring hope. But so often we stop at fear. Over the last 100 years or more, actually for the last 2,000 years, we have been engaged in the guessing game about when one stone will be thrown down for another and every building will be destroyed. Jesus will come again and there will be no taxes or hate anymore. Just the golden Jerusalem. Over and over again, we look at this literature and try to make direct connections. For those of you who are a little bit older, do you remember Y2K? Yeah. Yeah, it was a strange thing. I was in my second parish, and we were trying to put together a new computer system, and we had a very old PC system that we'd been working with for a while, and as Y2K came further, closer and closer, panic began to ensue. All the computers around the world were going to shut down. Amazon didn't even exist, so we didn't worry much about not being able to order from Amazon. But the president of the congregation was worried that we would lose our membership records. And so we shut down the computer 2 days before Y2K. And we waited. And we waited. Being a high achiever, I waited until January 3rd before I turned mine back on. And when I turned it on, I was surprised to find out it didn't work any better than it did before December 31st. And then, of course, in 2012... the lovely Harold Camping let the whole world know via giant billboard signs that the world would end on December 12th, 2012. Again, peddling fear. The apocalypse is on its way. Time will end. God will come again and destroy those who are sinners. Shame on you. And then on December 13th, he said, "Oops, I made a calculation error." Apocalypse has become the fabric of our life in so many ways. People talking about Iran and Iraq, about all of the terrorism that's happening these days as signs of the birth pangs. So be afraid, get yourself straight. I still love the wonderful bumper sticker, "Jesus is coming." Do you know the end of it? Look busy. But apocalypse is not about fear. And Lord knows there are plenty of people who are peddling fear these days. In fact, some sociologists say it really is the fabric of our life these days. Moved from one fear to another fear to another fear. Honestly, if you watched television, you would never leave your house because you wouldn't be sure whether or not you were supposed to take Xarelto or some other drug before you leave. You wouldn't know for sure whether or not you might be attacked. This weekend is another example of fear peddling, as 130 people lost their lives in Paris. Is that how we live? If the apocalypse is upon us in the way that people like Harold Camping said, then yes, we live in fear. But in doing so, we miss the hope. And those fears get peddled in every part of our life, even if you're not looking at the great apocalypses of the world and the great wars and the wars of rumor and wars and all of the birth pangs. What are the other things that distract us and keep us from our ministry in Christ and each other? Is it fear that we won't have enough money to retire? The answer is yes, you won't. Is it fear that you're going to get sick before you have the life that you want? Listen to Jimmy Buffett. "I'd rather die while I'm living than live while I'm dead." What is the fear that draws away from our love for one another and God in our daily life? What is the fear that peddles us into the future? When Jesus speaks to his disciples, he says this apocalyptic saying about the falling down of the buildings and the destruction of Jerusalem as a reminder to all of us that God walks with us through this. There are plenty of powers who hope that we will always be afraid. It's easy to move people when they're afraid. It's hard to move them. When they are in love. This God who gives us apocalyptic literature does so to remind us again and again of the presence of the Holy Spirit and of God in our very midst. And this is especially true in these confusing and uncertain times. We are linked together in all of this for the sake of God. Jesus reminds us. I love that text that you read or that you heard in Hebrews. "Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter this sanctuary by the new and living way opened to us through Jesus' flesh, let us approach with a true heart in the full assurance of faith." It turns out that we have a choice. When confronted by terrorism in Paris or by our own mortality or fear of not being able to have what we want, we have a choice to be afraid or to live in the confidence of the promise of Christ. Now look, I'm not saying that you just say, "Well, give it all up. Jesus is going to take care of me." It's not that. But it has to do with our posture toward life and our posture toward faith. To be driven by fear or to be pulled forward by love. Jesus says, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come and say, 'I am the one.'" Over and over again, you will hear wars and rumors of wars, but do not be afraid. This is just the beginning. So as we go forward as a people of God, what will we choose? Will we choose fear? If I read one more article that the church is dying, that the church is going to die, I will probably die. I want to just go on record as saying that the church will die. Just want to say it. The church will die. It has to. All living things do. The question is, how will you live now? Because our self, our being, our faith is not wrapped up in the living and dying of the church, but in the living and dying of Christ. And so Christ binds his disciples together for the sake of hope and binds us together for the sake of love. So what will you choose? Will you choose to go through your life afraid of an apocalypse? Or will you choose a life of love with one another and with Christ? I don't know how to end the violence or stop the terrorism, but I know that it shrinks, its bigness, its giantness, its fearfulness shrinks as we grow in Christ. So we as a church and as a people are called back into relationship with each other and with God. Not in a life governed and dictated by fear, but by the hope of one who says to us, "I will be with you always, even to the cross and even beyond. You are mine. Do not be afraid." Amen.